Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow disciples of Jesus, what makes a meal special? It can maybe be the food for the meal, whether it's your favorite dish or a food that you only eat for special occasions. And maybe that's what makes the meal special, the occasion for it. It's your birthday, your anniversary, or a holiday. Or maybe what makes the meal special is the ambiance. A late night candle dinner, a picnic in the park, a restaurant right next to the beach while the sun is setting. There are many different things that can make a meal special. And tonight, we see Jesus celebrating a special meal. It was a special occasion because they were celebrating the Passover, which was the most important festival for the Jewish people. The food was prepared in a very exact and special way. And the occasion, or the ambiance, is Jesus up in that upper room, which is all furnished and ready for him. But did you notice what Jesus looked forward to about this meal? He said, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you." What made this meal special to Jesus was that he was sharing this meal with his disciples. He eagerly desired that. But really? The disciples? Sure, they were Jesus' closest friends and they traveled with him for 3 years. But these are the same group of men that many times Jesus said, "You have little faith." And they were so slow to understand what Jesus was teaching them. A prime example is on this night. On this night, Jesus would get on his hands and knees and wash his disciples' feet, giving them a perfect example of love and servitude. But later on in that same night, we are told, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus eagerly desired to eat this meal with his disciples, even though hours later, these disciples would eagerly desire to desert Jesus while being arrested, and Jesus knew this. You can just imagine Jesus looking into the eyes of Peter and Judas, knowing what they would soon do. Peter would deny him. Judas would betray him. And yet, Jesus eagerly desired to eat this meal with them. This shows us something about Jesus. It shows his great love for all people. He eagerly desired to eat the meal with these disciples, even though they were little of faith and slow to understand. Jesus even ate with the Pharisees, most of whom hated him, and sometimes only invited him to a meal to try to catch him in a trap. You think of Zacchaeus, the tax collector who cheated people out of their money, which meant the people hated him. And yet, Jesus reached out to him, went to his house, and ate with him. Jesus did all of that out of love. And tonight, Jesus eagerly desires to share this meal with us. But really? Us? Just like the disciples, we can be little of faith and slow to understand. Jesus, in his word, declares the truth about God, and we have seen God's love and compassion in our lives, and yet we doubt him, and we don't fully believe what he tells us. Just like the Pharisees, maybe at times we can possibly hate God simply because of the things that are happening in our lives. Or like Zacchaeus, Maybe we have done things that have caused people to lose their trust in us and maybe have caused them to hate us for what we have done. Do you and I deserve to be partakers in this glorious holy meal from Jesus? And the answer is no. For when we look at our lives, what do we see? We see failure after failure, constantly stumbling back into the same sin. When we look at our lives, we see weakness after weakness, for we do not stand up against the devil and his temptations. When we look at our lives, we see defiance after defiance, not following the perfect example of love and servitude that Jesus gave, but we serve ourselves and demand God to do our will. All of these failures, all of these weaknesses, all of this defiance only brings unrest, despair, and God's judgment. And yet you and I can try to defend all these failures and weaknesses and defiance as if it will bring peace, joy, and happiness in our life. But it never does. We don't deserve to have this glorious holy meal. And yet, Jesus eagerly invites us to partake in this meal. For as we take and eat and take and drink, we are taking what is given from Him. Here we see Jesus masterfully and beautifully taking what the Jewish people were celebrating, the Passover meal, and giving it its perfect fulfillment. The Jewish people were given orders on how to prepare for this Passover. They were to take a lamb into their home and take care of it for 4 days. And you can just imagine that if you had to take care of that lamb for 4 days, what is going to happen? You are going to become attached to it. But then on the fourth day, you are to kill the lamb as a sacrifice and to eat its flesh. And this lamb was to be 1 year old. It wasn't an old lamb. It was young. And the lamb was to have no blemish or defect. It was to be the best of the best. It was to be a perfect lamb. And in Jesus, we find that perfect fulfillment of the Passover lamb. Jesus was no stranger to the people. He associated and loved them for years, and the people were attached to him. But soon after he institutes this sacrament, he will die. When he dies, he's only 33 years old. He's not old. He's young. He's in the prime of his life. And Jesus had no blemish or defect, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. He was perfect. He committed no wrong. And yet it was his perfect body that was nailed to a cross and his holy, precious blood shed as a sacrifice to God. And it is this perfect body and this holy, precious blood that we take from him in this sacrament. This isn't something that we came up with, because Jesus said, "This is my body. This is my blood." Jesus is not being cryptic here. This is his last will and testament with his disciples before he will suffer and die. And therefore, Jesus is very clear here. He does not say that the bread and the wine transform into his body and blood as if the bread and the wine no longer exist. Jesus does not say that the bread and the wine represent his body and blood as if it was a symbolic meal for him. He simply says, "This is my body. This is my blood." So when we take and eat and take and drink, we are taking what is given from him. his true body and blood. Our logic cannot understand it. We cannot scientifically prove it. But we believe it because that is what Jesus tells us. What's the point of all of this? What's the point of taking what is given from him, his perfect body and his holy and precious blood? Well, as we take and eat and take and drink, we take what is given for us. Although the exact words aren't mentioned in Luke's gospel, the other gospels, while Jesus is instituting this meal, says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." Here in this meal, Jesus, our perfect Savior, grants us forgiveness. In this meal, Jesus, our perfect Savior, who committed no failures, cancels out the failures that we have done. In this meal, Jesus, our perfect Savior, who did not fall into weakness against temptation, gives us new life, for he strengthens our faith in him so that we will stand up against the devil and his temptations. In this meal, Jesus, our perfect Savior, who committed no act of defiance against God, gives us salvation, where one day we will no longer be defiant against God, but we will live in perfect harmony with him forever. That's what Jesus offers in this meal. But how can eating and drinking do such great things? Well, it's certainly not the eating and drinking that achieves these blessings, but it's the promise of Jesus that he gives to us. Because here we have the body and blood of the new covenant for you and for me. But what is this new covenant? And what was the old covenant? And what was wrong with it that we needed a new one? The old covenant is the law. And the law does not save. The law only condemns and kills. The law demands perfection and holiness, a perfection and holiness that we can never earn. Therefore, the only thing that we can take from the law in this old covenant is unrest, despair, and God's judgment. But in this meal, Jesus gives us the blessings of the new covenant. The prophet Jeremiah detailed what this new covenant would bring. "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." The old covenant demanded perfection and holiness. The new covenant freely gives the perfection and holiness of Christ through faith in him. The old covenant only brought unrest, despair, and God's judgment. The new covenant only brings peace, joy, and God's judgment of declaring us not guilty because of the death of Christ. The old covenant only resulted in death. But the new covenant established by the death of Christ only results in eternal life. These are the blessings of the new covenant: forgiveness, salvation, and new life. But here's the thing. There are times that you and I can think that since we're not worthy enough of this meal, then therefore we should not partake in this meal. Yes, it is true that you and I are not worthy of this meal. But notice that Jesus never tells us to make ourselves worthy enough to have this meal. But rather, Jesus tells us to examine ourselves and realize that we are sinners who don't deserve this meal. Once we realize that, this makes us worthy recipients of the Lord's Supper. For our Lord established this sacrament for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's one more blessing of this meal. The blessing of unity. You and I come from different walks in life, male or female, young or old, blue collar, white collar, and the list can go on and on. But the one thing we all have in common is that we are all sinners who need a Savior, and we all have that one Savior in Jesus Christ. So as we come forward to this meal, we are united because we are coming to receive forgiveness, and that forgiveness is freely given to you and to me. So not only is there a unity of the bread and the wine with the body and blood of Jesus, not only is there a unity between God and us personally, there's also the unity of us as fellow believers receiving that forgiveness. And one day, we are united with the believers on the other side of heaven who are partaking in that glorious heavenly meal that Jesus has prepared for them and for you and me as well. That's what makes this meal so special. And that is why Jesus eagerly desires to invite us to this meal. For we take what is given from Him. We take His perfect body and His holy precious blood given and shed on the cross for us. And therefore we take what is given for us. We take the blessings of the new covenant, forgiveness, new life, and salvation. Therefore, let us rejoice to come forward to partake in this meal as Jesus eagerly invites us to have it with Him. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our confession of faith will use the words from Luther's Small Catechism dealing with the sacrament of Holy Communion that's printed in your bulletin. What is the sacrament of Holy Communion? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ for us Christians to eat and to drink. What blessing do we receive through this eating and drinking? That is shown us by these words, given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Through these words we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in this sacrament. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. How can eating and drinking do such great things? It is certainly not the eating and drinking that does such things, but the words given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words are the main thing in this sacrament, along with the eating and drinking. And whoever believes these words has what they plainly say, the forgiveness of sins. Who then is properly prepared to receive the sacrament? Fasting and other outward preparations may serve a good purpose, but he is properly prepared who believes these words, given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. But whoever does not believe these words or doubts them is not prepared, because the words for you require nothing but hearts that believe. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.